From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Bruce Jenner, greatest athlete in the world in his prime, Olympic gold medalist in the decathlon in 1976, husband to three wives, father to six children, stepfather to four, reality television star with the Kardashian clan, and now Bruce Jenner has come out as a transgender woman. Perhaps the biggest, most prominent person ever to make such an announcement. He spent 2 hours laying it all out with Diane Sawyer on ABC Friday night before an audience of millions. The transgender life and its subtleties have never had such a spotlight. This hour on Point, Bruce Jenner and the transgender moment. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Did you watch? What was your reaction? Is this country ready for a new, more nuanced understanding of gender? Is Bruce Jenner's story the way to get there? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. I should say NPR's policy is to allow people to define their gender identities, and we respect their decisions. Although Bruce Jenner has said that for all intents and purposes, I am a woman, we're using the pronoun he this hour until Jenner expressly states he wants to be called she. Let's look back for a second. Here's Bruce Jenner winning the gold medal. He won it in the decathlon in 1976, Summer Olympics, Montreal. Here's a montage of that, edited for a Wheaties commercial.
Jenner spins, lets it fly for 164 feet. Jenner sprints, takes off. Jenner jumps 23.8¼. Bruce Jenner's won the Olympic decathlon and set a new world record.
Back when he was the man, the greatest athlete in the world, he was called. Then many people may have lost track of him. Came back in a big way with the Kardashians. Here for a little bit from an episode of E! Television's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Bruce Jenner teaching his youngest daughter, Kylie, how to drive in 2013, but they're hounded by paparazzi.
How much longer until your license?
Like a month and like 16 days or something.
Yeah. And my last one will be driving.
Paparazzi.
Paparazzi. He looked very uncomfortable. He looked betwixt and between. Friday night, he talked with Diane Sawyer about exactly where he is in life in a very candid way. Bruce Jenner on ABC.
For all intents and purposes, I am a woman. People look at me differently. They see you as this macho male. But my heart and my soul and everything that I do in life, it is part of me. That female side is part of me. That's who I am. I was not genetically born that way.
A two-hour conversation on national television, Bruce Jenner and his gender. We'll talk in this hour with a national expert on transgender life and with a transgender woman living that life. But first, joining me in the studio is Renee Graham, cultural critic, contributor to the Boston Globe and to our NPR member station, WBUR. Renee Graham, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Hi, Tom.
What did you make of that Friday night?
I thought it was extraordinary. I think a lot of people going in didn't quite know what to expect, how honest this would be, how frank it would be. But I think Bruce Jenner was far more candid than anyone expected. And you have to remember, you know, Bruce Jenner means different things to different generations.
Yes.
You know, to younger audiences, it's about the Kardashians.
All about the Kardashians.
You know, the put upon patriarch,
yeah.
Slash hostage of the Kardashians.
Yes.
You know, but if you go back almost 40 years, you know, he was Superman, Captain America, and the hunk next door,
yeah.
All rolled into one magazine ready, you know, package. And, you know, the idea that here he was, you know, the greatest athlete in the world, one of the most famous men in the world, that's what makes this really significant, because we've known Bruce Jenner in a particular way for four decades. And now he's telling us something quite different, something that we're just finding out, but that he's known his entire life.
Revelation after revelation here, some of them just fundamental, he says, to himself, to his soul. He said, I'm a woman in my soul. But also his long, long struggle with this. He didn't come out lightly or easily. He's 65 years old now. He even suggested that his unbelievable Olympic performance in 1976 was in many ways driven by his desire to, he threw himself into this project to escape the pain of conflicted identity around gender.
And probably also in a way to achieve a kind of perfection, to prove himself. You know, despite what I'm feeling, this is who I really am. I'm going to be this male. I'm going to win this decathlon. I'm going to stare down the Soviet athletes, and I'm going to bring this home for my country. And people have to remember, it was also 1976, the year of the bicentennial. So there's all this patriotic fervor and all this flag waving. And at the end of, you know, that summer, here you have Bruce Jenner emerging as the world's greatest athlete in, you know, the decathlon, which is essentially a kind of mini Olympics within the Olympics. I mean, you prove yourself in so many ways physically.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of this perfect icon, but he knew what else was going on, which I think is really extraordinary, and that he's held on to this for so long.
Had known since he was a little boy, going into his sister's closet to look at those clothes, felt attracted right there, struggled with it throughout, a hero, a champion in the Olympics, and now looking maybe to be a kind of hero again for transgender, what, understanding. Here's Jenner Friday night.
What I'm doing is going to do some good, and we're going to change the world. I really firmly believe that we're going to make a difference in the world with what we're doing.
Renee Graham, I went in curious, but skeptical, because the Kardashians' reality TV business has been such a giant circus, using, you know, any angle you can snag onto and sort of cheesying it up and doing very well with it commercially. But I thought, oh boy. But there was a candor, there was an openness. He's talking about his soul, and it felt like he was showing it to me.
Well, there had this sense that, you know, with Diane Sawyer sitting there, you never really know which way it's going to go. And because he is, you know, part of the Kardashian family, you worried a little bit, and she addressed this, was this a publicity stunt? Was this just one more thing that the Kardashians were doing to get attention? And he shot that down really quickly, you know, that he wouldn't, you know, compromise himself and this thing he's dealt with for all these years just for ratings. I think I'm also impressed by the fact that, you know, he's very self-aware of this moment and what it can represent. And I think it seems that he's comfortable with the idea of becoming this kind of transgender icon and helping the community he's now a part of, but also other people to help understand what the process is like. And I think, you know, he's 65 years old. He easily could have, you know, lived out his life as Bruce Jenner and said nothing. But I think he also understands to do that in a way is to let the bigots win. And he's not willing to do that anymore. He's not going to compromise who he is for people who have a problem with it.
Here was Sawyer articulating that skepticism about what he was up to early on in the long interview with Bruce Jenner.
We told him there's a lot of skepticism among people watching him tonight. People who
are convinced that this is a stunt to promote the show.
Oh, no. We would never do that, Diane. Are you telling me I'm going to go through a complete gender change, okay, and go through everything you need to do that for the show? Sorry, Diane. It ain't happening, okay?
That was a moment where he kind of got back into that Kardashian sarcastic tone, but most of the show not in that mode. It's very straightforward, very earnest, him describing exactly what he's been through, the hormone therapies that he tried earlier in his life,
like
that he's gone back
ago,
to,
right.
30, and then didn't go further, couldn't follow through because he was worried for the pain it would bring his children.
He knew. But, I mean, but, you know, think about the fact that 30 years ago, he was going through hormone therapy. Very quietly, of course, no one knew this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he knew there was absolutely no way in the 1980s that he could make that transition. There was no one in front of him, really, with his kind of fame to use as a role model. You know, so he stopped the therapy, got married again, had more children. But at the same time, the struggle never went away. He was always dealing with it. He was always trying to figure out how to truly be himself. And that's what this comes down to. It's not how to be someone else. It's how to be himself.
A population herself, eventually.
Right.
He says over the next year, he'll make that transition. I don't know exactly when he'll go to the she pronoun, presumably at some point. He wasn't doing it on Friday night. This is a community that could use a champion, I guess. I'm looking here at estimates of 700,000 transgender people in the United States, statistically significantly more vulnerable to suicide, to poverty, to discrimination, to violence. When people historically have learned someone's transgender, they've often become targets for brutal violence.
You know, this year alone, as of mid-February, there have been 7 transgender women murdered. You know, that's compared to 12 in all of last year. So, you know, with visibility, you know, can come some harm, you know. But I think at the same time, that's why it's really important of what Bruce Jenner has decided to do.
You know, and not just murdered, if I may, but in some of these cases historically, In the case of these murders, there was a defense called a panic defense, where a man who was in a sexual encounter and then discovered this was a transgender woman might even kill that person and then bring the defense. I was so shocked by what I'd learned that I lost my mind. California becomes the first state, they're moving now, to ban that defense. I mean, I don't know how often it's been successful, but well, California's saying, no, forget about it.
It's a variation on the old gay panic. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, this guy hit on me and I got mm-hmm. upset and I had to mm-hmm. kill him. Mm-hmm. It's the same exact thing. It wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. it was nonsense then. It's still nonsense.
Is this interview, the fact it's on network television with Diane Sawyer, longtime anchor, the evening news and all the rest, Bruce Jenner, a major figure, does this say to you, Renee, that our culture is at the point now where we've seen what's happened with gay marriage, with acceptance of homosexuality in general compared to historical patterns? Are we in a new mode when it comes to gender and its subtleties and its nuances and more diverse human nature than we were willing to accept or even acknowledge in the past?
It means that we're willing to have the conversation. You know, I always get a little wary when people talk about, you know, Time magazine had that cover, you know, the transgender tipping point. And, you know, this is the transgender moment. Mm-hmm. The problem when you have a moment is people then think it's done. You know, it's kind of like, oh, my God, we have a black president. All racism is over. That's mm-hmm. never the case. Mm-hmm. What it does is it starts a conversation, or at least continues the conversation. The conversation didn't start with Bruce Jenner. It's not going to stop with Bruce Jenner, but it's a very important part of it. So I think that, you know, with 17 million people watching that, maybe he changed some minds. Maybe he will continue to change some minds. I think that's what's important about what he did.
I don't know about you, but for me, I sat back on Friday night and at points I was just pinching myself saying, this is happening on network television. We're into a more public conversation on a large scale on this issue than I personally ever remember. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Bruce Jenner, out now as transgender. And looking at transgender life in the USA, it has not been easy. There may never have been such a prominent figure out and candid as we saw Friday night in Bruce Jenner's interview with Diane Sawyer on ABC. Renee Graham is with me, cultural critic in the studio. She's been watching these issues for a long time. It wasn't the first time this is broached by any means. Transparent is the Golden Globe-winning Amazon original series, began in 2014, stars Jeffrey Tambor as a 70-year-old father who's transitioning male to female from Mort to Maura. In the first episode here, Maura explains her identity to her adult daughter, Sarah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry. I'm just trying. Can you just help me out here? Are you saying that you're going to start dressing up like a lady all the time?
Honey, all my life, my whole life, I've been dressing up like a man.
And here, last year, transgender actress Laverne Cox, Orange is the New Black, talked to ABC News about being bullied as a little boy in Alabama.
Bullied because of my gender expression, bullied because I didn't act the way someone assigned male at birth was supposed to act. There's a cultural environment where trans people are told who we are is a mistake and that we should try to be someone else.
And Bruce Jenner, Friday night, talking with Diane Sawyer about how he envied those who were in the gender that felt right to them, how he never could feel that way.
You don't fit in. I like to play golf. But 99% of the time, I play by myself. I look at guys, and I go, he's comfortable in his own skin. You know? And I thought, wouldn't that be a nice way to go through life? I look at women all the time thinking, oh, my God, how lucky are they that they can wake up in the morning and be themselves. But me, I'm stuck here in the middle, and I got nowhere to go.
He does now. That was Bruce Jenner on Friday night. Renee Graham is with me in the studio. Renee, we got glimpses of the way forward. He's got a closet of women's clothes. He's began even sort of just little shots where he's going to use them. He said he wasn't sure whether he would have physical gender reassignment or not. That's down the road. But he is putting his feet on this path very, very publicly. It's right in front of us.
You know, the feeling I had watching on Friday night was Bruce Jenner has spent 65 years waiting for those 2 hours to have that public conversation. And, you know, a lot of people have said what he did is brave, and it is brave, because there's no way he could have gauged what the reaction was going to be, even though there had been speculation for months that he was transitioning. To sit there and have him actually say it took it to an entirely different plane. And so, you know, there is going to be this continuation. This was the beginning of it for him in mm-hmm. terms of talking about it. But yes, as he mentioned, you know, he's going to adapt a name. He will wear women's clothing. He will change his pronouns. All of that will happen. But this is the beginning of that process. And I felt like he honored us in a way by letting us be part of that, by having this public conversation. You know, we've known Bruce Jenner, some of us have anyway. Mm-hmm. He's been in the public eye for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes this so interesting. You know, Laverne Cox, as wonderful as Laverne Cox is, came to us in a kind of way almost fully formed. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know Laverne Cox beforehand, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. we've always known Bruce Jenner mm-hmm. as...
Starting from that muscular athlete pole vaulting into the sky,
pole
the
vaulting
javelin,
and shot putting, and the hurdles, and all of that, and everything he represented, and everything we projected onto him, mm-hmm. you know, to find out that in some ways we were almost imprisoning him in doing that and making it more difficult for him, mm-hmm. you know, it's an amazing thing. So I think that, you know, I do think what he did was brave, but again, I think the conversation goes on, and I think I like the idea that he feels comfortable being part of that conversation now.
Let's expand our circle here. Renee Graham, stand by. With us from New York is Dr. Laura Erickson-Schroth, psychiatry, LGBT health fellow at Columbia University Medical Center. She's editor of the Trans Bodies, Trans Selves. It's a resource guide written by and for transgender people. Dr. Laura Erickson-Schroth, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's great to be here.
And from New York, we have two Lauras today. Laura Jacobs also joins us, a therapist, a transgender woman and activist herself. Born in 1969, 45 now, began transitioning in her mid-20s, male-to-female identity. Sits on the board of many LGBT community and activist groups, including the Callan Lord Community Health Center, World Professional Association for Transgender Health, and more. Laura Jacobs, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Laura Jacobs, first to you. You've gone down this path. Bruce Jenner has been on it Friday night. He went public with it and let us all know that, you know, here I am, here's where I stand today, and here's where I'm headed. Did you relate to what he was communicating to the country, Laura Jacobs?
In some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. I think what we saw when we saw that interview and I think, you know, to touch on one thing you said before, a lot of people in the community were very skeptical. They were worried that this was going to be sensational or fetishizing of Bruce or whatever. But I think a lot of what we saw in that interview was sort of a very classic transgender narrative, you know? Somebody who knew when they were young, somebody who cross-dressed in private, somebody who kept it, you know, their deepest, darkest secret, somebody who had some stops and starts. And that's a very common narrative. That was my narrative for a while. Not mm-hmm. it's not so much anymore. But and as a therapist, it's the narrative of many people that I work with. But it's not by any means the only narrative that people have about their identity. You know, in Bruce, we really saw somebody who felt like they were born in the wrong body, and that there are a lot of historical reasons why that narrative is so ingrained. But nowadays, we're seeing a lot more people who don't necessarily identify that way.
Meaning, I'm not sure what you mean.
Sure. Well, you know, Bruce said, and a lot of people have said this before Bruce, that they sort of feel like they have a female brain trapped in a man's body,
yeah.
or that they feel like they were talking on the interview about something hormonal that happened while the fetus was in utero that might have sent confusing messages to the developing fetus.
And he said more than his brain. He said, my soul is
yeah.
female. My soul,
yeah.
whatever he means by that personally.
He's referring to his internal sense of mm-hmm. self. When mm-hmm. he sits down, when he's looking in the mirror, when he's lying in bed, when he's standing in the shower, mm-hmm. he thinks of himself as a woman. And as much as, you know, that is the soul, then that's how he understands himself. A lot more people nowadays are starting to explore gender in all sorts of different ways. And some very much still believe that about themselves, and some don't really know or don't really care so much where that conflict between the body and the mind comes from, but they're just sort of exploring how they want to live.
Did you, Laura Jacobs, feel compelled in the years when you presented as male to the world? Did you feel mm-hmm. internally compelled to go the other way, to go female? Was it this the kind of compulsion we heard Bruce Jenner describe?
You know, I do remember feeling it from very young. And in some ways, the Bruce's story does resonate for me. I remember being 5 years old and having an experience of feeling that. When I was in my parents' there was a playroom in my parents' house, and I can date it to about being 5 years old, given what happened with that room later. And, this was a long, long time ago, and I'm dating myself. But, you know, I was thinking of things like Star Trek and The $6 Million Man and those sorts of fantastical medical things that happened on those shows, and thinking, well, you know, if they could do that, why can't they make me, you know, the girl I was meant to be? And so, you know, in many ways, I really felt very similar to Bruce, that I was, you know, a woman trapped in a man's body, and I was very concerned about presenting as male so that nobody saw that. Over the time, it got a lot more complex, especially when I started to actively take transition steps. But
Dr. Laura Erickson-Schroth, you're editor of Trans Bodies, Trans Selves. You've thought a lot about this. Do you see an archetypal story in the Bruce Jenner gender sexualities story, something unique? I mean, we made him an archetype of athleticism. Is he a fair archetype of transgender life now, or are there a million stories in the city?
Well, Tom, as you said, I'm not trans myself. I'm a psychiatrist working with LGBT people in New York City and worked on trans bodies, trans selves. And one of my goals is to create spaces for diverse groups of trans people to be able to tell their experiences. I'm actually working on a film that will do that. And keeping that in mind, I think, first of all, I want to say that I agree that it's a really brave act for anyone to be so publicly true to themselves. And there can be a lot of positives about a public figure like Jenner coming out, but I do think it's really complicated. And I agree with Laura Jacobs. You know, for many Americans, Jenner will be this representation to people about what it means to be trans. And the problem with that is that trans communities are very diverse, and Jenner is a very specific narrative. And trans people have really different experiences from someone who's wealthy and a celebrity. So, for example, the physical changes like hormones and surgeries and electrolysis that Jenner is able to access, a lot of people, that's really out of the question financially. And I think something really important. Actually, I was watching Laverne Cox being interviewed by Janet Mock on Friday, and I thought it was really interesting what she said. She talked about the visibility of high-profile trans people like her, and she said that didn't save Lila Alcorn. That didn't save, you know, the people that were mentioned earlier, the seven trans people that were killed in the first 2 months of 2015. And visibility really matters, but so do structural and policy changes.
It may be, perhaps we can imagine, but describe for us why we see these high rates of suicide and poverty in the transgender community.
Sure. So there are a lot of studies that have been done recently of transgender people. Especially, I'd like to highlight the National Transgender Discrimination Survey, where they asked transgender people about their lives. And if you look at those studies, people report – so for example, 80% of trans people report harassment, discrimination, or violence. I think this is a staggering figure. 50% report a history of sexual assault. And we hear about these murders, and we hear about the kind of repeated harassment and violence that people go through. And this can lead to mental health issues. And, you know, this is what keeps me up at night as a psychiatrist, you know, the kind of systemic violence that trans people undergo. And it results in an estimated over 60% lifetime rates of depression in trans people, up to 45% lifetime rates of substance abuse, suicidal ideation in over half of trans people, and actually suicide attempts in between 20 and 40% of trans people. And that's versus 5% of the general population. So 5% versus 40% is, you know, that's really high numbers.
There was a lot of, I would imagine, learning going on Friday night in this interview. Here's a little bit where Diane Sawyer asked Bruce Jenner, sitting in his living room, about his sexual orientation. Not his gender, but his sexual orientation.
Are you gay?
No, I'm not gay. I am not gay. I am, as far as I know, heterosexual.
You don't know.
Because it's not.
As far as you know?
As far as I know. I've never been with a guy. I've always been married, you know, raising kids.
Right.
Lots of kids, never with a guy. And he went on to talk about sexuality and the difference between that and gender. Again, Bruce Jenner as the new sort of national teacher.
There's two different things here. Sexuality is who you are personally attracted to, who you, you know, turns you on, male or female. But gender identity is how to do with who you are as a person and your soul and who you identify with inside.
Dr. Laura Erickson-Schroth, help us sort this out. For a lot of people, this is just unfamiliar terrain, and I think many might assume that when someone changes their gender identity, sexuality would travel with it. Bruce Jenner is saying, well, maybe not. I mean, he seemed to be kind of open-minded, but he's saying, no, I'm attracted to women. And even in a gender identity as a woman, he sort of indicated that might continue to be the case. What's the matrix of alternatives that people find themselves in here, Dr. Erickson-Schroth?
Sure. Well, I think this is a really important topic to talk about. You know, the fact is that sexual orientation, who you're attracted to, and gender identity, how you see your own gender, are really very different things. But as we've seen with the Jenner interview, our society tends to think about these two in connection with each other or linked to each other. So though Jenner says that he remains attracted to women and identifies as heterosexual, as his gender changes to female, you know, publicly, he'll begin to be publicly perceived as a lesbian. You know, and I think that's true whether he identifies that way or not. And many trans people find themselves in that situation because these two are very different things. You know, they find themselves shifting between categories. And these are all categories that we've created. And so, for example, you know, I think there are a lot of categories that people sort of transition between as they're going through a gender transition. So a black person who's transitioning from female to male and is moving into this different space, starting off as a black female and ending up in society's eyes as a black male, that's a very particular category that you move into in our society, and it brings along with it all kinds of problematic ideas. I think we could also think about partners of trans people. So, for example, this could be really unsettling to someone who believes they're in a lesbian relationship and they're with someone who transitions from female to male and now identifies as a trans man. For the person in that relationship, understanding being, you know, still being attracted to that person can be very complicated. People can feel sort of ousted from their communities and not feel a part of the communities that they were a part of.
You talk about categories here. I mean, I think a lot of people sort of come in with a simple notion that the biological physical package you're born with at birth represents the categories. And there are two. There's male and female. But then we heard Bruce Jenner, I think it was Bruce, saying genitalia does not equal gender. Scientifically, can explain how this happened. What's at work here that leaves some people feeling a gender identity that is not what their physical manifestation would suggest?
You know, I think that's one of the most common questions I hear, especially from family members of trans people. Like, you know, why did this happen? Why is this person trans? And the short answer is we have no idea. We don't know. You know, so I've read hundreds of studies that have looked at possible biological influences on gender identity, including studies of genes and hormones. And there's really no consensus. You know, I think what we do know is that from an early age, almost everyone develops a core sense of gender identity. And we really don't know where that comes from, but we know that efforts to change that are ineffective, and they could be seriously damaging.
It's that mysterious.
It is, yeah. I mean, I've written literature reviews on this topic, and there are all kinds of people that are really looking at this and trying to figure it out. You know, in some ways, I think, you know, that it doesn't matter. I mean, I think the most important thing is that people should be able to live their lives, you know, the way that feels truest to them. And finding out, you know, the reason, if there is a reason, I think that it's very complicated and there is no the reason. And everybody comes to different understandings of themselves for different reasons. But finding that answer is not going to change things.
Renee Graham, do you see the walls coming down a little bit here? People open to a more fluid understanding of gender? I'm not talking paradise, utopia, or perfect, you know, but something's happening.
Incrementally, yeah. Maybe slowly, somewhat. You know, as much as we like to talk about the advances for the gay community, you know, it's still not completely there. You know, so, you know, every little step helps, but it's a slow process.
Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at WBUR.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Bruce Jenner, out now as transgender, and transgender life in the USA. Here was Jenner back in 1978, after his Olympic win, promoting Wheaties, the all-American greatest athlete in the world.
I put in a lot of years and put away a lot of Wheaties, because a complete breakfast with Wheaties is good tasting and good for you.
But there was a struggle, he told Diane Sawyer Friday night. It went on for a long time. One of the biggest drags on him coming public more earlier was concern for his children, that they might suffer if their father was out as female.
Those are the only ones I'm concerned with, and the only ones in my life that I can't let myself hurt them. And that is, how do I do this? How do I do this and not hurt my children?
Is it easy? No, his stepdaughter Kim Kardashian West said, talking with the Today Show this weekend. But the family is ready to, she is anyway, go there.
I think there is still an adjustment, and there's, you know, family therapy, and we're really close. You know, I see reports that say, you know, this one doesn't support him, and this one's over here, and my mom feels this way, and it's all really so made up. We all really support him. Is it a hard adjustment? Yes.
Kim Kardashian, and you have to wonder where the whole Kardashian ball of news and paparazzi and everything else will take Bruce Jenner's story. On Friday night, he was sort of driving the boat. Renee Graham is with us, cultural critic in the studio with me. Dr. Laura Erickson-Schroth with us, editor of Trans Bodies, Trans Selves, joins us from Columbia University's Medical Center there, a psychiatry and LGBT health fellow. Laura Jacobs has herself made this transition, male to female, transgender woman, transgender activist, born Lawrence Jacobs, began transitioning in her mid-20s, now a therapist who works with the trans community, including the adolescent community, joins us also from New York. Lots of callers for all three of you. Samantha in Walpole, Massachusetts. Samantha, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very nervous, so sorry.
That's okay. What's going on?
Well, when one thing I'd like to say, and I don't mean to say this as a slight to anybody or guesser, but it's not a thought. It's what you are. It's who you are. If ask any man and you say, how do you know you're a man? And you're going to get a lot of stumbling, fumbling, and they're going to say, I just know.
Yeah.
It's not a thought. It's just who you are. And I've known, before I even knew what gender or sex was, I knew what I was, whom I was, and it's such a hard thing. I only recently started transitioning, and I never even said it out loud. I knew in my heart, I never even said it out loud to myself. It was that difficult of saying, it was all that I'm old enough now where there just wasn't any kind of acceptance at all.
So you're transitioning from male to female?
Yes. I go to Fenway right now. Thankfully, I have available to me probably one of the best facilities in the country, at least I think so. And it's difficult, though, because I haven't told anybody. And as you transition with hormones, your body changes. And so as you start to change and your body changes, you know, putting on clothes, I have to wear, you know, I'm wearing clothes now, like a shirt, three sizes too big.
And
it's very awkward. But through my whole life, I had to go to the hypermasculine because I knew if I wasn't, I'd give myself away. So I had beard and leather coat and all that stuff. So I understand a lot of what Bruce Jenner was talking about.
When do you think people will know, Samantha? Do they know already, or are you still waiting for that I'm coming out to the world moment?
Oh, gosh. you kind of think people suspect, but then I think a lot of, like, family, they just don't want to know it or believe it. They might think in the back of their mind, oh, this is that. But nobody really wants to believe it. And, again, like with Mr. Jenner, I have children, and the biggest worry in my heart is not to hurt them. That's always been the biggest thing in my life. Don't hurt my girls.
Do you think Bruce Jenner coming out will help you make your way in the world, in society, Samantha?
I'm not sure, because I think there's going to be, even though there was, like, the interview with Diane Sawyer was help dispel the whole he's publicity, etc., there's always going to be a large segment of people who say that won't believe that and say, oh, it's just this or that. And that's going to be hard to get over. And another point made by one of your guests was his access because of he's got money. And that's such a huge stumbling block for so many people. And it's kind of really depressing. I've been wearing this wrong skin. I've been living in this wrong body my entire life. And I'm kind of stuck in it unless, you know, some kind of magic happens and funding goes through and, you know, I can be whom I've been my whole life.
Samantha, we wish you good luck with that, and I appreciate your call very, very much. You know, Dr. Erickson Schroth, somebody said to me today, well, it's great for Bruce Jenner, but this was a mother expressing concern that as this becomes more public and prominent in our society, it may actually lead to confusion, more confusion for some developing children. How does that work? You know, do many people or most people go through a period where there's some uncertainty about their gender? How do you think about having very prominent public figures who are making changes like this? I think the exact word she used was, you know, oh, will it encourage kids to get into this sort of tumult that they wouldn't necessarily have to be in? How do you respond to that kind of sympathy but concern at the same time?
Sure. Well, I mean, first of all, I wanted to say to Samantha, it was really brave to call in, and it was great to hear from you, and we need your voices. You know, I'm actually going to defer to Laura Jacobs on this question because I don't actually work with children. I've certainly done that during residency and medical school, but she works with children directly and with people who are transgender who have children.
Laura?
Sure.
Yes.
Well, I work with adolescents, so the youngest people I might work with would be 13 or so.
Okay.
Although I have, you know, many of my colleagues work with people who are younger than that. I think, first of all, yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Samantha, for your call. I hear the struggle and the pain in your voice and the sort of lifelong angst that I think you have felt. And thank you for sharing it. And you mentioned that you're going to Fenway, which is a really, really wonderful place to get
care. It's a transgender health clinic in Boston.
It's an LGBT health clinic,
okay,
yes, but that's okay. And it's you know, it's one of the prominent health centers in the country for LGBT folks and for transgender folks. And so I'm really glad you're getting care there. You know, people in many areas of the country don't necessarily have access to an LGBT health center like that. You know, I work with a lot of adolescents, and they know, but they're growing up in a very different world than, let's say, Bruce Jenner did or I did or probably that your caller Samantha did. You know, they are growing up in a world where, you know, the youth nowadays are not as concerned with things like gender binaries and black and whites and whatever. And they're exploring gender in a much, much more nuanced way than necessarily thinking, I was born this, but I have to be that. They have awareness. They have access to information. And they're youth, so they're sort of inherently being youth who are being provocative. They sort of do a lot of exploring. Some of them end up transitioning from one to the other. Some of them end up somewhere in the middle. It's certainly a struggle for the families who are trying to understand and trying to, on one hand, you know, be caring and love their kid, as you would hope that most families would, while at the same time helping their kid through something that is a really, really difficult struggle.
Laura Erickson Schroth, speak to this issue. Laura Jacobs calls it gender binaries, and that presents it as kind of a boiling down to something simple, something that's actually more subtle and diverse. And I get that. On the other hand, you know, for a long time, people like to think about this or talk about this. That's just nature. There's male and there's female. I mean, look at yin and yang and male and female and all the rest. Is the gender binary, your male or female thing, is that a straitjacket, given what human nature, how we actually know human nature now? Or is that a simple, not a
sure,
simple
I,
reality?
You know, I think we like to think about things in categories. Mm-hmm. It's sort of how our brains work, and it actually helps us to get along through life and to understand, if you think about over time through evolution, what's the difference between a tiger and something that's much more friendly. So we like to put things into categories. But the thing is that nature doesn't follow categories the way that we'd like it to. So if you've heard, if anyone has heard the term intersex, so this is different from transgender. Intersex is a term that refers to people who were born either with ambiguous genitalia or who are not clearly either strictly male or female mm-hmm. when they're born. And, you know, this is a – you know, I would say if you look at Anne Fausto Sterling's studies, it's probably about half of 1% of people. So maybe 1 in 200, 1 in 300 people is born intersex. And that's a really high number, and it's something that we don't talk about very much, that these categories that we think of as, you know, completely clear and delineated are not.
Let's go to Marie in Nashville, Tennessee. Marie, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just want to say I've never actually struggled with this issue myself. I'm straight. I've always known that. But I was raised in the South where this was just not ever talked about. I'm almost 50. Mm-hmm. So this was a big deal. I mean, you couldn't be gay, lesbian, transgender, anything at all like that. And as an adult and being out on my own, I was able to overcome that thinking because I did meet people of various sexual identities and realized they were just people like me. And I have really tried to raise my son that way, and he and his friends are all early 20s at this point, and they have openly gay friends and bisexual friends, and so while I did not actually see the Bruce Jenner piece, good for him. And I hope he gets all the support that he needs because I just think people are who they are. And the ones who do not accept that is because we want to identify with something that is very, very similar to ourselves.
Maria, I appreciate your call. I've got more callers there, but I'm so happy to hear from you in that way. And approaching 50, what a big transition there's been in our public conversation around this. Just in your lifetime, you articulated very, very well that sort of new tolerance that we wouldn't have heard nearly as much of, to my mind anyway, not so long ago. One more right here. Jen in Milwaukee. Jen, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm in my 60s, early 60s, and I transitioned. Well, I started my transition back in the early 80s, but it took 10 years. And what it does to a person's standard of living in those times was absolutely incredible. Virtually every penny of your income goes to the cost of the transition, between the extreme cost of hormones to the extreme cost of electrolysis to the extreme cost of therapy. It absolutely makes you poverty-stricken, and it is carried through to this time in my life, where at 60 years old, I don't pass quite as well as I used to. I'm unemployed and I can't get a job because people look at me and they give you that raised eyebrow look.
Who are you? What are you? Was it worth it, Jen, despite all that?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't undo it. Did it go as well as I hoped? Well, no, not in terms of, you know, my life outcome in that sense, but in terms of my personal security and just comfort with myself. Yes, absolutely. I do not regret it at all.
Do you think Jenner coming out will help or not? I mean, he's, you know, here he's rich. He's not facing these economic issues in a way that you and others might, Jen.
No, it's going to go significantly better for Bruce Jenner because of the celebrity, because of the income. I think it does help people like me, though, because, well, quite frankly, I'm sick to death of people who, like your producer when I called, who couldn't get my name straight because I don't have a perfectly feminine voice. I'm sick to death of people who look at you with a raised eyebrow. I'm sick to death of people who carry these little bigotries in their pockets. And I think it's just pretty much time that America grow up and realize that this is a reality. It has been for all of history. And it's good that someone like Bruce Jenner comes out and helps to give us a positive public image.
Jenna, I wish you good luck, and I really do appreciate your call today. I want to get just one more. Jen, thank you. Dawn is calling. Hi, Dawn. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I am a heterosexual female, and I met and fell in love with a wonderful person about 10 years ago, and she is transgendered now. Wasn't when we met, has grown through the process as we've been together.
So when you met, she was identifying male, and now she's identifying female?
Correct.
How's it going? Is the marriage holding up all right?
Oh, absolutely. I identify as cisgender. I do experience a little bit of issues, we both do, in terms of our community. We live in small town, rural America, and, you know, we are now identified as the lesbian couple, and that can be problematic at times. But for the most part, because of people like Laverne Cox and Ms. Jenner, the exposure that transgenderism is receiving has started a conversation. It's encouraged curiosity. We have people that ask questions, that want to know, and are no longer just, you know, at the receiving end of prejudice. And I am very happy that Ms. Jenner did that interview and sort of gave another face to this journey that so many people are going on.
Dawn, we're right up against the clock here, but there you go, helping Bruce/Ms. Jenner. Right up onto that path, and that appears to be exactly where Bruce Jenner's headed. Wow, Renee Graham, sounds like different times to me. I'm not saying it's a revolution overnight, but this is some new conversation.
Revolutions have to start somewhere, and maybe this is the start of that, of a different kind of conversation about transgender people.
Renee Graham, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks, Tom.
Dr. Laura Erickson-Schroth in New York. Thank you, Dr. Laura.
Thank you, Tom.
And Laura Jacobs, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.